Howdy, howdy. Welcome, welcome. Way to reward the people who got here on time. So let's do a door prize.
Snack bag with a t-shirt.
We have a snack bag with a t-shirt. Gene is letting me do this because this is technically his session. So, all right.
Okay.
What have we got?
We have Michelle Singleton.
Michelle Singleton, are you here? Ah, let's pick another one.
It's going to be a lengthy process.
Who do we have? Mike Keithley in the front row. Yay! Gene, can I give away one more?
No.
Oh, he told me.
We only got 20.
All right.
For the whole convention.
Okay.
A little later.
Congratulations, Mike. And I want to go ahead and give the session over to Gene Lozano, who is our first vice president, who will be presiding tonight. Give him a warm welcome.
Good evening. I hope everyone's been having a good time.
Yeah.
I've been hearing positive things about the restaurant service.
Yeah.
And that's really good. Okay.
Oh, it's only Jeff.
Oh. Well, then that doesn't count, you know. Okay. Okay, to get serious right now. The first thing on our agenda this evening is the remembrance of anyone who has passed away since the last fall convention. So if there's somebody you would like to tell us about that's departed, please, the mic will be, raise your hand and they'll bring a mic to you.
My name is Larry Hall. I'm president of the Redwood Empire chapter in Santa Rosa. And we want to remember one of our true warriors of the time, Larry Swenson, who passed away end of last year. He's done so much for the movement in the early days when it started, and even up to the end, he was always a warrior. We need to remember him. He was great.
I'm sure I'm forgetting people because it seems to me that we've lost more than one. But the one I was thinking about is not a member of CCB, but I think it's a person who a number of people here will have fond thoughts about. Just a couple of months ago, we lost John Linville.
Oh, yeah.
John Linville was, along with Jim Bliss, the inventor of the Opticon. And he invented it for his daughter, Candy, who has retinoblastoma and who got a PhD. Apparently something worked right. But he also helped keep the Opticon in production for longer than Telesensory had planned to produce it. And I read, when he died, I read about his other things that he was doing. He was the chairman of the electrical engineering department at Stanford, and he brought the electrical engineering department into the solid state era. He hired people that knew about transistors and diodes and stuff and changed Stanford, changed history. Started Silicon Valley in a way. So anyway, that's he died at age, I think it was 91. And we sent Candy a card, and she wrote us a note back saying she was happy to have had him as long as she did, and so on. Thank you.
I would like to remember Dr. Flora Beck.
Oh, wow.
We lost her this year just about a week or so ago. I would say maybe a little more. And I will always remember her fondly with a smile, because when I first came into to CCB, Flora always used to tell me, you know, Mitch and I, after we got together, Flora used to, she'd see Mitch and she'd always give him a big old hug and they'd greet each other and then she'd come and give me a hug and she would say, you know, you're lucky I like you, otherwise I'd take your husband away. So she will be missed but remembered with very fond memories.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just have a moment of silence and in remembrance of these individuals before we proceed. Okay, thank you. Now we'll go on to, we'll ask Rob Turner to give us a credentials report.
Okay, thank you, Gene. And just a quick reminder, in the spring, at the spring conventions, I just say that the credentials committee is responsible for verifying the number of votes given to each chapter. And it's a report about the number of chapters that we have and how many members they have. And it's just great to be a part of a democratic organization that, Okay, so let's get started. We'll begin with the capital, the ACB capital chapter. As soon as I can get to the top of the document, that is, we will. Okay, the ACB capital chapter, that's President Deborah Thompson, 37 members, 7 votes. The delegate, Tuan Nguyen. Alternate, Joni Patchy. And nominating committee representative is Joni Patchy. Active Blind Inland Valleys Chapter, President Irene Nunez. 16 members, 5 votes. Irene Nunez is the delegate. Christy Cressman is the alternate. And Irene Nunez on the nominating committee. Association for Multicultural Concerns, President Lillian Scafey. 15 members. It's a special affiliate, so they have 5 votes. Delegate Foster Brown. Alternate is none. And Foster Brown will be the nominating committee rep. The Bayview chapter, the president, Sherry Gabrielson. 53 votes. 53 members. Hey. Yeah, boy, they're going to really sway the election. So anyway, they actually have 53 members, and they're going to have, that would entitle them to 11 votes. And now I've lost place.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. What's that, Al? Ah, very clever. Okay, we'll get back. We'll get back. Boy. All right, where were we? Let's see. We were at Bayview. Oh, okay, got it. So, yeah. So Steve Fort. Connie Skeen is the alternate. And Connie Skeen will be the nominating committee rep. Okay. Actually, that's wrong. Steve Fort will be on the nominating committee. Okay. Blind Students of California. President Lena Bandy. They're a special affiliate with 16 members, so they've got 5 votes. Delegate is Lena Bandy. Alternate, Lisa Gordon. Nominating committee is Lisa Gordon. Braille Revival League of California, Steve Fort is president. It's a special affiliate with 48 members. Delegate is Keith Johnson. They don't have an alternate, and Keith Johnson will be the nominating committee rep. Okay, California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, President Bernice Kandarian. They've got 98 members. Ooh, going to break that triple-digit barrier here any day. Susan Hyatt is the delegate. Don Wilcox, the alternate. And Bernice Kandarian will be the nominating committee rep. Library Users of California, Library Users of America, President Judy Wilkinson. 26 members. It's a special, a statewide affiliate, I should call it. Judy Wilkinson is the delegate. Jerry Arakawa, the alternate. And Judy Wilkinson, nominating committee rep. Okay, now next we come to the Compton chapter. So I've just got to ask if anybody is here from the Compton chapter, and if so, is it? Okay, so Compton will not be seated. Which is, yeah, they couldn't make it. So East Los Angeles chapter is next. Charles Navarrete is the president. 27 members, 5 votes. Louis Herrera is the delegate. Ramona Craig, the alternate. And Louis Herrera will be the nominating committee rep. Glendale Burbank chapter. President, Artis Bazin. They've got 29 members for 6 votes. Artis Bazin is the delegate. The alternate delegate is Anthony Signorello. And Artis Bazin, nominating committee rep. Golden Gate chapter. President, Dr. Martin Jones. 28 members, 6 votes. Dr. Martin's delegate, Warren Cushman alternate, and Warren Cushman on the nominating committee. Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind, President Penny Valdovinos, 21 members, 5 votes. Delegate, Diane Deutsch. Alt, Penny Valdovinos. Nominating committee, Diana Deutsch. Greater Long Beach chapter, Mike Conrad, president, 25 members, 5 votes. Robert Wendt is the delegate. Aisha Wendt is the alternate. And Robert Wendt is on the nominating committee. Now, are they here?
Yes.
All right. I thought so. Greater Los Angeles chapter, president, Pam Metz. There she is in the back. 24 members, 5 votes. The delegate, Melissa Hudson. The alternate, Pam Metz. Nominating committee rep, Melissa Hudson. Greater San Joaquin Valley chapter, president, Roger Hood. 23 members, 5 votes. Delegate, Roger Hood. Alternate, Suzanne Hood. Nominating committee, Roger Hood. Guide Dog Users of California, Mary Beth Vandal. It's a special affiliate with 15 members, 5 votes. Delegate, Ann Kaiser. Alternate, Mary Beth Randall. Nominating committee rep, Mary Beth Randall. Orange County chapter, president, Andrea Pitzenbarger. 20 members, 5 votes. Delegate, Debbie Kessler. Alternate, Andrea Pitzenbarger. Nominating rep, Debbie Kessler. Orientation Center for the Blind Alumni Association, president, Albert Contreras. 24 members. Albert Contreras is the delegate. The alternate is none. And Albert Contreras is their nominating committee rep. Randolph Shepherd, Vendors of California, president, David Hanlon. 13 members. The delegate is David Hanlon. The alternate is Roy Harmon. And David Hanlon will be the nominating committee rep. Redwood Empire Council chapter. The president is Larry Hall. They've got 43 members, 9 votes. Delegate, Larry Hall. Alternate, Gigi DiMartini. DiMarini? Oh, well, okay. Well, you got, listen, Larry's got to take the fall for this one. All right. She told me to call her Gigi, so that's what I'm doing. All right. Okay, San Diego Braille Club. Jacqueline Jackson, president. They've got 40 members, 8 votes. Joseph, the delegate is Joseph Lopez. The alternate is Monique McCorley. We'll get it right. And Joseph Lopez is the nominating committee rep. San Diego chapter, President Glenda Castle, 25 members, 5 votes. Doug, the delegate, Doug Martin, alternate, Patty Davis, and Glenda Castle, nominating rep.
Glenda Castle is not present. She's not here at the convention.
Okay. Shall we put you as the on the nominating?
Thank you.
Very good.
Rob?
Yes.
This is David Hanlon, RSBA. Coming to RGC. You mentioned at the point that White Hart was going to be the nominating committee person. White Hart is the nominating person.
Yeah, I don't know how we... okay. So he's going to do it.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'll make that change. Okay. So let's continue. San Francisco chapter. President, Linda Perel. The 33 members, 7 votes. Delegate, David Jackson. Alternate, Linda Perel. And nominating rep, Linda Perel. That's the San Francisco chapter. San Gabriel Valley chapter. President, Donna Pomerantz. 60 members, 12 votes. Vince Calderon is the delegate. Pampology, the alternate. And Vincent Calderon, nominating committee rep. Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. President, Mike Keithley. 78 members, 16 votes. Delegate, Sam Chen. Alternate, David Hoffman. Nominating, Susan Hyatt. Solano Adult Blind Club, President Roseanne McLaughlin, 11 members, 5 votes, Delegate Diane Phelps, Alternate none, Diane Phelps, Nominating Committee Rep. Yosemite Gateway Chapter, President Viviana Norris, 33 members, 7 votes, Viviana Norris, Delegate, Alternate, Brenda Trevino, and the nominating rep will be Viviana Norris. Okay, so we have a number of chapters, mainly because of financial, restrictions and so forth that we're unable to attend. And we'll go over that list. We've got the Alameda County chapter. They're not represented. They do have, like I said, these are chapters that are not seated. They may have an individual member or two here, but they've chosen not to. Anyway, Antelope Valley, Butte County Council of the Blind, Coachella Valley Chapter, El Dorado County Chapter.
Those defunct.
Oh, okay. I've just been told on good authority that they no longer are. They've dissolved. So strike that one from the record. High Desert Chapter, Humboldt Council of the Blind, Inland Empire Chapter, Pyramid Chapter, and I also had Compton should have been in order. That's back. And then San Bernardino is the final chapter that San Mateo is the final chapter that can't make it. So that concludes my report. Are there any questions? Or okay, thank you very much.
I will entertain a motion to approve the report.
Mr. Chairman, before you do that, maybe a chat for a check in. I was like,
can't hear you.
Everything is the same as this morning.
You're fine.
Okay, the committee, the credentials committee has made a motion for the approval of the report. Is there someone who wants to second it?
Second.
Question. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nays? There is discussion.
Oh.
Linda Perel Oyster.
Okay.
Yes, can you talk?
I'm sorry to complicate your life even further, Rob. Lena Bandy is not here, so she can't be listed as the delegate for the students.
Oh, so she's not coming tomorrow?
She is not coming at all.
Okay, well, I missed that. Okay, well, then the alternate will have to serve.
That is correct.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay, I guess to continue with the vote, those in, opposed say nay. Abstentions? Okay, the ayes have it. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Okay, the next one is the, got to be careful how to say this, the mud.
What?
I knew I was going to do it.
Your name's
Mud. Mud Strut.
The mic is I'm offended.
I'm sorry.
I'm, we hope it's not.
The Mud Strut. A report from Jeff Tom and Melissa Hudson. I'm sorry.
Yes, let's do the chant.
Okay, it's yours.
Well, despite some who don't know what we're doing here, we are ready for the first annual pep rally for...
Pup rally!
Pup rally, excuse me. Give me an M!
M!
Give me a U!
U!
Give me a T!
T!
Give me another T!
T!
Give me an S!
S!
Give me a T!
T!
Give me an R!
R!
Give me a U!
U!
Give me a T!
T!
What does that spell?
Mudstrut!
One more time!
Mudstrut!
All right! Now, we're going to play Mudstrut Trivia. And you lucky winners will get sugar in the form of candy bars. So, we need Ed. Boy, this is going to be tough. He's going to recognize the first hand that gets raised after the question gets asked. And the winner, if that's a winner, will get... We have four questions, and...
All right, guys. Listen up. These are toughies. Have you guys been paying attention the last couple days? All right. It's a two-parter. I'm going to make it a two-parter. Mine's going to be, you know, but I know you guys can do it. All right. The first annual Mudstrut is going to be held on what date, and what are the two locations that they're going to take place? I'm doing a two-parter. I'm making it more difficult.
No, we got.
No, Ed's got to
recognize.
How do I? You should have figured out who was like the first one.
I need the candy bar.
Oh, that's right. No, not yet.
Can I say?
No.
We're going to recognize John Ross.
Okay.
Executive decision.
Okay. The event will be held on Saturday, September 10th.
Where?
L.A.
In L.A. Sacramento? And in Sacramento.
Where?
Downtown.
We can. The cities are fine.
A candy bar for John Ross. Okay. We're going to wait till Ed gets ready because we're going to get that next hand recognized here.
For
this is
going
to be good.
Question number two.
We're getting Ed ready to do the
question
ticket.
Number two.
Yeah.
What are the two alternative distances that you can walk or run in the Mudstrut?
This guy right here.
Quiet, please, or you will be kicked from the room by a dog.
This is David. I believe it's a 2K and a 5K.
All right, another candy bar.
All right, we'll let him get his candy bar, and we'll get Ed. Ed, let us know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, you're ready? All right, this is kind of, you know, a toughie again. I'm making you guys think. Who and what can participate in our Mutt Strut? Who is invited to come do our 2K, 5K?
People, this is Beth. People and their pets. It could be your guide dog. It could be their, you know, your pet. People and pets.
Do you need to have a dog to do the mutts?
Of course not.
All right. Woo!
Seymour will have ears.
And we have one question remaining, and you don't have to get the entire answer, but you've got to get part of it. What will you get? Aside from the honor of walking with Melissa or myself, for registering for the Mutt Strut. Rage.
You get a t-shirt and a bandana for the dog.
Another board member gets a candy bar.
And let's not forget, the third, you get a wag bag. All right, guys. You know, yeah, you get to lose some weight. You know, you're going to be running and you know, or jogging. Again, this is a really exciting event. We're really, really happy. It's a fundraiser. See what I did there? All right. You know, we're going to raise, you know, a lot of funds and have a lot of fun. And also, it's a big PR event for us, for CCB. We're really going to do a big marketing push to get the word out to the general public on who we are, why it's important to help support us, what CCB does for us. So tomorrow, my husband David will be here. He is a photographer and does video and things like that. So we're going to set up in a room. And when you see Lily, as of 1:30 p.m. tomorrow, we're going to be available to set up, and we really need each and every one of you to come over and take about 10 minutes out of your day to come and sit and talk to us. We're going to be asking you questions. It's not going to just be sit and talk. It's, you know, tell us about your story. Each of us have a story, and I want you to know that we think each of your stories are very, very important, and we want to share that. You want to share who you are, where you're from, you know, maybe if you're willing to share what, you know, caused your blindness. And let's talk about the stereotypes that we're trying to break that people still have out there about the things that we can and cannot do. And what CCB means to you. Why is it important that you guys are here? Why would it be important to somebody, you know, out in the general public to know who we are, to help support? What has CCB done to enhance your life? Things to think about. You know, but it's really important. I don't want you guys to think that someone else in your chapter or someone else here is going to do it for you. No, absolutely not. This is what we're thinking of is this is going to be what in the marketing world they call an evergreen project. So it's evergreen. That's why we're taking, you know, 10 minutes that you guys can talk, and it'll be, you know, edited down for little snippets. This could be the Mutt Strut, but later on we can use this for, you know, other things about what CCB has done.
Please, everyone, quiet down. Stop the
you know, to help us. And again, this, you know, you don't have to come, you know, you don't have to be a guide dog user. You don't have to have your dog. We're just going to sit you, you know, in a chair. And again, tell us your story. We want to hear that. You know, I'm sure it's obvious that I don't need to tell you guys. You guys don't have to dress up to the nines and have your power suit or anything. But, you know, look nice. You know, look nice. You're going to be on camera. We will ask you to sign a release form beforehand. We will have one in Braille if you guys would like to read that, or we can read it to you. And, you know, so we can have that forever. But again, think about what CCB, why did you join CCB? Why is it important for you? And you, stay, wake up. I think maybe he needs a candy bar. But yeah, so that's really important. So I'd really like you guys each, you know, to really think about it and help support us. Because I know not a lot of us maybe may have the money to register. We would love for all you guys to go. Or maybe it's going to be, you know, not in your area that you can't, you know, or you can't support someone else who's going to register. Well, this is a way that you can support without putting financial things. For this to be a success, it takes each and every one of us. And if you can't be there or help financially, then you guys can do it by telling us your story. This is, you know, 10 minutes out of your day to tell us how important CCB is for you. And that way, we each are contributing to make this a success. Thanks, guys.
So, we'll get to some other things. Where will the room be? Do you know, have a location yet?
It will be in the presidential suite. Ooh, 1102. But again, we're gonna talk to Lily, so maybe after the session or when she comes in, we can start getting signups as of 1:30 p.m. and we'll block like 10 to 15 minutes and have volunteers take you guys over and start that tomorrow. So please, please, please. And we will be here on Sunday. And if we can't do it in that room, we'll find another place because we'll be around most of Sunday as well. So if you guys can't squeeze it in Saturday, maybe, you know, Sunday morning before you guys go. I know it could be hard, but maybe those who are, you know, locally. And if you can't and you go home and you couldn't do it, write something. Write your own testimonial. And we can do that, you know, in written form as well. It will start the video as of 1:30 p.m.
And it's our understanding that the president will be providing Don Perignon and caviar for all who will be coming.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you must not have been in our board meeting last night when we gave that budget now. Were you?
No, this is from you. This is not from our board budget.
Oh, from me.
Only the best.
Well, how about Costco and get some sparkling cider? And, you know, I think they sell it in bulk over there. Or Walmart.
Yeah, bulk, Don Perignon. I think it's called Boone's Farm Apple Wine is what they call it.
Frank says Trader Joe's to Buck Chuck.
There you go. There you go. So there's some other things you can do. We'll talk about registration in a minute. But another thing, Bill, for my Northern California folks out here, because I'm the Northern California chair. And by the way, greetings not only on behalf of all of us on the committee, but especially Ken Metz, who is our Mutt Strut chair, who due to some medical things couldn't be here, but he is here in spirit, and he has been working tirelessly and making sure that we stick to the straight and narrow, and he's just doing an outstanding job. One of the things that we're going to do in the north and in the south, and we have some incredible people down south who are really just giving us so many wonderful ideas, I can't even begin to tell you. Under Melissa's leadership. But one of the things we're going to do, we've developed a brochure and a sponsorship letter. Now this the sponsorship letter and the brochure are geared to try and help find sponsors for the event. Not sponsors for individuals, but sponsors to provide, you know, funding to provide water, to provide services, maybe to provide, you know, they might give money for certain things. Maybe they'll pay for security or maybe they'll pay for, you know, whatever, you know, we might need. But what the brochure is also going to do, even if they don't, we're going to be telling them about CCB, some of the things that we do, whether it's ATMs or, you know, some of the many things that we do, little snippets in the brochure. So even if we don't get somebody to do anything with a mud strut, when we pass out a brochure, we might turn somebody on to CCB. So we don't know how much PR we might make above and beyond this whole effort. But one thing which you can do, and we're going to ask people in Northern California, it doesn't matter whether they live in Sacramento or not, to do, if you feel that you are a good phone person, and we'll look at that, and you feel you can, when we, you know, send out brochures to places with sponsorship letters. We're going to try and get a team together to make follow-up phone calls because we're just going to have too many brochures and sponsorship solicitations to do all follow-up visits face-to-face. So if there are people that want to do this, please contact the office or me, and we'll get your names down. We would love to use some people, and I hope that you can help us do that. And we're going to moving in June and July. So that is one element that you can do. And as I said, these brochures really will give people an idea about CCB, and they can help us for years to come. So, Melissa, do you want to go on to talk about some of the marketing or registration? Should we go on? Okay.
And we do have brochures, so be sure to grab some, start handing out. We do have a few. We made sort of a one-sheet braille, some braille ones for guys to just have a lot of the event details. You know, marketing. So like we said, we've got the brochures. We're going to do a PR campaign, getting out, you know, to radios and maybe some TV stations. And we're also looking, again, we're going to have a website, which should be up. The website's on the brochure, but it should be up and running by the end of this weekend, which is going to be ccbnet.org/mudstrut. And there's going to be a main page, and we're also going to have a Los Angeles page and a Northern California page, which will have, you know, all the event details for each venue, and it'll also have, you know, registration links to go. I will just say that we're using a company called First Giving, and so be patient with us with the registration. It does take a bit to register, but Jeff has mentioned before that he's not very tech savvy, and he got through it, even though it takes a little bit. But again, it's not coming from us. It's from another organization that we're working hard with them. But again, it can take a little bit of time. We're doing our best to try to mediate some of that, some of the steps for you guys. But again, you know, we're all volunteers and have, you know, full-time jobs and doing our best to make that. So just a plea to, you know, when you register, it can take a little bit. We are going, now that the Facebook page is up, we're going to have, you know, information about the Mudstrut, asking anyone who's on Facebook and send that out to friends and, you know, liking our page. And because again, if you think, what I found out was most, the average person who's on Facebook has about 150 friends. So let's think about that. If I have 150 friends and I send like CCB's page and like the Mudstrut page, they send it out to their 150 friends. And that second person sends it out to another 150 friends. And suddenly, boom, there's an easy way that we're getting the word out in Twitter. And I know not everybody is tech savvy and online, but that's, you know, a way that we have to think outside of our box and out to the general population to come check us out. And so we're going to be, you know, doing stuff like that. And again, any sort of volunteer work that you'd like to help with the Mudstrut, SoCal, NorCal, anything, you don't even have to, well, we're all in SoCal or NorCal. So, you know, any part, you know, come and help us out. Give us a call. Let us know. You know, we'll let you know. We need all the help that we can get. You know, it's not going to take just 8 to 10 of us to do this whole event. Do you guys have any questions? Nope. Jeff?
A couple more things. Registration. I know many of you won't want to register online, and there are a couple of alternatives. You have to sign a release form. However, what you can do one of two things. Obviously, anybody is going to be able to register the day of the event. Now, the disadvantage to that is it's a little harder to raise money in advance if you haven't registered already. But you can. There's another way to do it, and that is you can give your registration information to the office over the phone once we're up and ready. Then they will mail you a release form you have to sign, and you can either send it back then and be registered, or you could, of course, bring it in to make it easier and just bring it in during the day. So there are alternatives. We want everybody to be registered. And one thing I'd really request of you. Just tell everybody you know, and especially if you know people that get involved in runs, because running teams bring in tremendous amounts of dollars to these events. And in fact, if we don't get the run teams that we think we will get, it will definitely eat into our revenue expectations. So we're really trying to get the running teams involved. But more than anything else, we want the whole community involved to know, to not only to make money for this organization, but more even than that, to show what we are all about as an organization. So I think with that, yeah. Well, any questions? How much?
$25 to register.
And 20 for kids.
20 for kids. So.
What are our expenses with this, and how much are we hoping to raise after we pay all our expenses and everything?
The budget is somewhere in the neighborhood of $17,000. The expenses is what I meant. We hope that we will net, and these expectations are a little high, but it's better to shoot high. We're hoping to net $50,000, but even if we don't, remember that this is the first year. And you know, one of the things that really is driving me and spurring me on is, I don't know how many times we've heard Kathy in these conventions say, you know, the problem with this organization, we never get any PR, and we know how right she is, that nobody knows who the California Council of the Blind is. This is a way, not necessarily even quite in the first year, but over time, to put this organization on the map. And next year, we hope San Diego, San Francisco, Fresno, we don't want this just to be a two-city thing. We want this to be a statewide effort that will really make a name for CCB.
Any other questions?
Are we excited?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Are you guys all coming?
Yes.
Other questions?
I have a question that I'm kind of bothered as far as the locations, especially in Los Angeles. We've been told it's what's called Los Angeles Historic Park. I'm not exactly sure where that is. I mean, of course it's downtown, but downtown L.A. is quite large.
Downtown L.A. is like what, I'm sorry?
It's quite large. So I would like to know specifically what streets border this park.
It's on Spring Street.
Yeah.
Near Alameda. It's off the Gold Line station. It's off the Chinatown.
Yeah, but now tell me exactly
station.
Streets.
Spring.
Spring.
And off the top of my head, I'm trying to remember where.
Cesar Chavez.
Is that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but see, if you go north of Cesar Chavez, that's not Spring Street anymore.
The address is Spring Street.
So it's below Cesar Chavez. It's south of Cesar Chavez and Spring.
Correct.
That's all I want to know.
And the address is there, and you can ask me specifics. I can tell you exactly.
Yeah. Because I know sort of where Chinatown is. I know where these things are.
Please, everyone, one person.
But I was very
on.
Unclear as to where this is. That's all I want to know. Thank you.
Any other questions?
This is Christy, and I just walked in the middle. So is this a walk or a run?
Either one, whatever you're comfortable with.
And you said it's a 5K, 2K, 5K?
Yes.
So
go ahead, Christy.
Does in both cities it's a 2K/5K?
Yes, the event will be held with the same parameters, 2K, 5K in both cities. If people want to walk the whole 5K, they can, although that's going to be, they may be a little late for a lot of the people, but they can walk that, or they can, whatever they choose to do. But runners are really important to these events because they really generate revenue. And so it's important that it be a walk run and for the bottom line.
Okay, so we want runners, although I'm going to have to walk. So how much time do you have to do this in?
There's no time limit, but if you do it, it depends. You know, if you do a 2K, it's obviously not going to be a very long walk. If you do a 5K, it's not that long. If you walk, if you're a fast walker, like I suspect you are, Kristen.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's not a race. You're probably going to start, you know, around check-in will be as of 8 a.m. We'll start the whole event at 9, and everything wraps up by noon, 1 p.m. So.
Hello, this is Mike Keithley. Are the parameters on the length actually set? Because it seems to me if we want runners, 5K isn't much of a run. And so that's just my concern.
The 5K is really sort of what is frequently done for a little fun run like this. There's lots of them done all the time. And I would tell you, Mike, that we really did a lot of research on other similar events before we put these parameters together. We didn't want to reinvent the wheel, so to speak.
Lots of people maybe trying to, you know, practice for a half marathon and stuff put a lot of 5Ks under their belt because they're trying to, you know, get their times in. So.
This is Dave Hoffman from the Silicon Valley chapter. Will the event in both locations, well, more Sacramento, but be wheelchair accessible?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, the answer is yes. Sacramento, for example, is an accessible park where we're holding it. So we made sure that would be the case. Before I forget, I did want to thank two people. I want to thank Lily for the tremendous amount of time and research she has put in. And I want to thank Donna for not only all the hard work that she has done and how supportive she's been, but that she's given Lily the time and to put in all this effort. So thank you, Donna, for all the support that you've given us.
Yo. Are there brochures available here at the convention?
Yes.
You got it.
Hey, I have hands now, but I don't know if they're for brochures or questions.
I was actually going to ask if someone could read the brochure so everyone could hear what's on there.
Okay. Good idea. It's not that long.
Yes.
How about wave your hand if you have a question? Okay.
I think I have a statement. A bunch of us from San Francisco were talking earlier about this. And if you have any interest from San Francisco or the East Bay and want to come up to Sacramento, we might be able to rent the Lighthouse bus. So call me at the Lighthouse. This is Beth. And just call me at the Lighthouse. I'm going to start putting together a list of names. And then as it gets closer, we'll see if we can make it into a reality because we have to check on how much it would cost.
Yay. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Lily, do you want to read the brochure?
Either you do that, Beth, or maybe you just get a big boat and come up the channel, you know? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you like
people drive. Yeah. Right.
Yes. The cover has our logo, which is a silhouette of a runner, a female with a guide dog, and another runner with a pet dog on a leash. And it says California Council of the Blind, first Mutt Strut, and then inside a little dog bone it says 2K, 5K. Saturday, 9, 10, 11. Isn't that an easy day to remember? 9, 10, 11.
Oh.
Woohoo! Okay. And then when you open the brochure, the first panel on the left-hand side says Annual Mutstrut, a tale of great vision. Bring your friends and family out for some fresh air and participate in the California Council of the Blind's first annual Mutstrut, a 2K, 5K fun run and walk to raise awareness for a great cause. Each registrant will receive a commemorative t-shirt and wag bag. Registered doggies will receive a commemorative bandana. Saturday, September 10th, 2011. Check-in, 8 to 8:45 a.m. Event begins at 9 a.m. Adults, $25. Children, 16 and under, $20. Dogs, free. Vendors, activities, and entertainment from 9:30 to noon. The middle panel, things to bark about. The California Council of the Blind enhances and protects the rights of people who are blind or visually impaired through job training and employment opportunities, continuing education through scholarships for college students, funding educational services for students, allocating funds for the California School for the Blind, preserving accessible services at state libraries, talking ATMs and accessible point-of-sale machines, working for installation of audible pedestrian signals and detectable edges on train platforms and curbs. The right panel, the header, is contributing to a great cause. Your donations to the California Council of the Blind support Braille literacy, college and vocational scholarships, the Blind Californian Quarterly Magazine, training conferences and conventions, employment assistance programs, crisis intervention, family education awareness and peer support, and community outreach through public education. And then on the back, one great event, two great locations. Northern California, Sacramento Southside Park, 2115 6th Street, Sacramento 95818. Event chair, Jeff Tom, 916-995-3967. jeff.tom@ccbnet.org. Southern California, Los Angeles State Historic Park, 1245 North Spring Street, Los Angeles, 90012. Event Chair Ken Metz, 323-793-1805, ken.metz@ccbnet.org. To register, www.ccbnet.org/mutstrut. And then the middle back panel, which is the back panel when it's all folded up, says, California Council of the Blind. California Council of the Blind, CCB, is a statewide 501c3 organization with local chapters that support blind and visually impaired people in diverse ways. Our goal is to encourage self-sufficiency, independence, and full participation in society. Since 1934, CCB has been the largest organization of people who are blind or visually impaired in the state and continuously advocates to improve the lives of these people. By utilizing our published resources and CCB membership, we are able to help people who are blind or encountering vision loss to access useful referrals to various agencies and peer mentors. CCB is committed to community support, which allows us to further help these individuals gather resources and gain accessibility to services that will make a difference in their lives. And then there's the contact information for executive office. There you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Robert Wendt. A quick question. Who should we refer people who might like to volunteer, or if we would like to volunteer, who do we need to talk to?
The event chairs.
Say that again.
Contact the event chairs.
Okay, thank you.
All right. More questions?
That it, Ed?
Sorry, I just wanted to make a comment real quick. Joe Hamilton here, and I am the manager of California Access News, which is a phone-based information resource run and through Society for the Blind in partnership with the Braille and Talking Book Library. And we have put together a community calendar of events for the visually impaired. And so if I could somehow, I guess, Jeff, I can connect with you, but for all chapters and all members here, for any of your special events and things like this in particular, please, let's try to put together the network of communications so that I can get this out. We have 1,500 people across the state who are blind or low vision that are subscribed to the service who could benefit from knowing about these types of events.
Thank you, Joe. Yep. And you were near the top of my list once we got this blitz started, so but thank you very much for coming forward.
I guess a lot of people here might have note takers and Victor streams and stuff, so I'll just give this to you all for those outside of Sacramento County. 1-800-665-4667, and then locally 916-732-4000. And you can always call Society for the Blind. That's 916-452-8271. Ask to speak with Joseph, and I will get you set up, and we'll make sure that we get the announcements out that people across the state can benefit and also contribute. No, we can get the Newsline from me, but you can't get to from me from Newsline. So there you go. How's that?
Could you repeat the toll-free number again, Joe?
One more time. It's 800-665-4667 or 1-800-66-LIONS, just in case you were looking for the acronym there.
Thanks, you guys. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you. Now, Donna, you can give another door prize out.
Frank is taking the microphone away as I'm reaching for it. He doesn't want you to have a door prize. Get him, get him.
He's over here.
This is a Wilson Digital Voice Recorder.
A Wilson Digital Voice Recorder. And it was donated from Beryl Brown. I don't know. He didn't want people to have a door prize. He shouldn't draw. Melissa Hudson.
Mutt strut.
Frank said so she could record the mutt strut.
Okay. Now, let's listen to the governmental affairs report from Frank Welty.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to be here. I should probably call this the Thanksgiving report because I've got a lot of shout-outs this evening. First off, we had a great Capital Day event yesterday. We had about 30 folks that rode with us on the bus. We had about 22 on the bus, and then we came back with closer to 30. And it was that's right, you know, some homeless people. And it was great. We went over to the Capitol. We did a legislative briefing, and then people swarmed all over the Capitol building and talked to legislators' offices and shared the good news about CCB and the issues that we're concerned about. And then while we were there, we had a really cool picnic lunch out in Capitol Park, and the weather was gorgeous. It was fantastic. And so I got a big, big shout out to the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California for underwriting our lunch again this year. And kudos to Joni Apache, who put the food together for us so that it was really, we didn't have to worry about this. We just went and picked it up. It was, we had a great time there. And a big, big, big thank you for all of you who participated in the Capitol Day yesterday. It was great for you to come up early and get involved and let your voices be heard. I'm coming to that. And also, the thing that really made it easier this year is that we were able to have a bus take us between the hotel and the Capitol. First off, I want to thank the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind and Mr. Art Takahara for underwriting the bus. I also want to give a thanks to Elena Thomason, who gave me the tip for the bus company. That was great. And it was just a great event. I want to urge all of you at the Capitol Day to follow up. Now that you've had a chance to meet your people in your legislator's Sacramento office, make a point of visiting their district offices so you can get in touch with their staff in your local communities as well. I've got a Jeep who's trying to sneak away here. And so it was really great. We had some important issues that we talked about. Let me tell you about those. There were four issues that we focused on for Capitol Day. The first two are the two bills that CCB is sponsoring in legislature this year. The first bill addresses a problem that we've all had for a number of years, which is if any of you have ever shown up at Amtrak or at the airport when the state, the ticket agent says, okay, now let me see your ID so we can, you can buy your ticket. You pull out your ID and he says, sir, did you know your ID is expired? I'm not supposed to give you a ticket with an expired ID. I have to tell you that I had an interesting experience along those lines a few years ago. I got married in Brooklyn, New York. About almost 4 years ago now. Yeah. And Vita's here, by the way. And so when it happened that the wedding was 2 days after my birthday. So on Friday, August 3rd, I was in the marriage license office in Brooklyn, New York, with some not too friendly people working in the, behind the counter at the office. And wouldn't you just know that my birthday would have also been the expiration date for my card? Can you imagine if I had not been able to get my marriage license because my card was expired? Now, the only reason that didn't happen is that I had managed to, just because I had moved recently, I had gone ahead and gotten my card renewed just because I wanted the correct address. I didn't know it was going to expire. That was really scary. And the reason is because the DMV didn't send out a renewal notice for my ID card the way they do for driver's licenses, right? That's not right. Well, fortunately, this year they changed that so that starting this year they're going to be sending out renewal notices. But here's the problem. Nothing in the state law or regulations say they have to do that. So what happens the next time they're looking for ways to cut the DMV budget and they think, well, those people that don't drive don't really need a renewal notice for their ID card because they, you know, they don't drive, so what if their card expires? We don't want that to happen. So we have a bill, AB 390, that will put a requirement in statute saying that DMV has to send out renewal notices to those of us with ID cards. The author of that bill is Anthony Portantino, who is President Pomerantz's assembly member. And we're having good news on that bill. It's gotten through the assembly, and it's going into the state senate. So we were telling the members of the assembly yesterday, thank you for the support. And we were telling the members of the state senate that we would like to thank them for their support too, when they give it. So that's AB 390. AB 410 is a renewal of a bill that you may recall we were working on last year, because as you may recall, if you want to get notice about changes in state regulations, the state agencies issue something called Notice of Proposed Regulations, which has various pieces of information about the change, the rule changes that they're proposing, one of which is a section where they have the actual text so that you can actually look at the fine print. You notice I said, look at the fine print. Because the way they show changes in the fine print is with format changes, like the changes are in italic and the deletions are in strikeout font. You don't get that with a screen reader, do you?
Not easily.
Trust me, if you've ever tried to read some of those building regulation changes with a screen reader, it's a challenge. We don't think that's right, because we think that blind people should have the same information about the fine print on state regulations that everybody else has. So AB 410 will require state agency upon request to provide what we call an alternate description of the text of proposed regulations so that we can tell what's really going on with those things. And it also says that the 45-day cut period starts when they send us those alternate renewal notices, so that they can, so that if we happen to find out about an important piece of regulation after it's been out for 2 weeks, and we call them and say, hey, I need an alternate version of this notice, and they say, do we do that? And after 2 days of scurrying around, they call back and says, oh yeah, I guess we do that. We should have that to you in maybe 2 weeks. Well, you take 2 weeks before and then 2 weeks after that, and you've got maybe only a week or two to respond to this 50-page notice of regulations, right? So that's not fair. So this law would require that we have the same 45 days that everybody else gets to comment on notices. And currently, that bill is in the Assembly Appropriations Committee. They've had the hearing, but they have a little form of purgatory in the Assembly Appropriations Committee that's known as the suspense file. Basically, if they think the bill is going to cost too much, they say, we're going to put it on the suspense file and think about it. And which often means they just keep on thinking about it until the session's over. So on Monday, the staff member from the from Assemblyman Swanson's office, Assemblyman Swanson is the author of the bill, is going to be talking to the committee and doing a little arm twisting, trying to get the bill out of the suspense limbo and back on track. So we will let you know what's happening with that, but we want everybody to let your member of the assembly know that we need AB 410 so that we can have the same equal access to regulations that ADA says we should have anyway, and also your state senator. Those are our two bills that we're sponsoring this year. There's a bill right now that we're very concerned about. It's AB 727 by assembly member Holly Mitchell. And most of it we don't mind. It's a bill that's encouraging the purchase of food items for that are sold on state property to be as much as possible purchased locally, which is, you know, encouraging California agriculture and saving the environment, and also encouraging food to follow federal nutritional guidelines so that state employees and others can buy healthy food when they're at work, which is a good thing. But they have one problem, and that is with vending machines. You may recall that a few years ago we had a little dust up with a bill from Assemblymember Torlakson that required a certain percentage of food in vending machines to be nutritional. You remember that? Well, that went through, but after a lot of negotiation, we came up with a figure that we could live with. It started out at 25%, and now it's 35%. What vendors are finding is that that 35% doesn't sell as fast as the Snickers bars so, and the Twix. And again, we can live with that too, you know, because we want to have people have choices. But this bill would say that in 2 years, in 2014, that figure would go up to 50%. And in 2016, it goes up to 100%. Better stock up on your Twix bars now. Needless to say, the Randolph Shepherd vendors are not happy about this, and neither are we. So we've come out in opposition to this bill unless they change that rule so that the vending machine content requirement is based in reality. And so right now that bill has gone through its first assembly committee and it's headed for assembly appropriations. And so we're encouraging our members of the assembly and our members of the state senate to oppose the bill unless it is amended to take away especially that 100% content requirement for vending machines. And then the fourth thing that we talked about yesterday with our legislators is the 800-pound gorilla in the room that everybody knows about, and that's the state budget. As it happens, as most of you may recall, we're dealing with a $25 billion state budget deficit this year, coming up in the next year. And through a lot of hearings, many of which CCB testified at, regarding concerns about various proposed cuts, the legislator came up with a budget package that hasn't actually been passed yet, but that would get rid of about $12 billion in cuts, including about half of that being social services, which we're not happy about. And we told them that again yesterday. But beyond that, we're not sure what's going to happen, because on Monday, the governor is going to come out with something called the May Revise, which is a revised version of his original budget proposal that's based on the latest tax figures that have come in the spring. And we don't know what that's going to be yet. It may be a little better than what he put out in January, because revenues have been up a little bit above what was projected. But that's not going to solve much of the problem. So we're really not sure what's going to happen. But we were giving the message loud and clear yesterday that we've taken enough social service cuts, and they need to find some smarter ways to balance the budget. And you need to tell your legislators that. Sure, they've heard it already from a lot of people, but they need to hear it from you, especially with your personal stories. You know, I'm a firm believer that it's one thing for some of these people to oppose certain things on the basis of their pet theories. But, you know, things can change when reality stares them in the face. And you're the reality that needs to be staring them in the face. So those are the main state budgets, the main state issues that we're grappling with right now. There are, of course, other state bills and other issues that we're going to be looking at. And I encourage as many as you as possibly can to come to the Governmental Affairs Committee meeting tomorrow afternoon, so we can get into more details about all of this. There is an important federal item that's going on right now that's going to be important to the CCB in our ability to do our good work. And that is a bill called H.R. 860. That is a bill that will hopefully resolve a problem we've had in recent years with car donations. As you all know, in recent years, the amount of revenue that CCB has gotten from car donations has gone way down. In fact, our high point was 2002, and now what we get in a year is what we were getting in about a month back then. And it's not the recession, folks, that caused this. The reason is that in 2004, the tax rules changed that made it much less beneficial to donate vehicles. So it's discouraged a lot of people from doing that. And they had some good reasons for doing that, but they went overboard. And this bill will restore balance to those IRS rules so that people will be able to get bigger write-offs for donating vehicles, which will encourage more people to donate vehicles. That'll give more revenue to CCB so we can help more people. So we want you to encourage your member of Congress to co-sponsor H.R. 860. Last year, half of the California representatives co-sponsored an identical bill. So we want to get more California representatives to do that this year. And if you listen to the legislative report, when it's the next update, we'll give the list of who the sponsors, co-sponsors are for California. There's about seven of them right now. So we have something like, we have about 46 more to go, plus our two senators. So everybody, please call your member of Congress and put in a good word for H.R. 860. One little extra bit of thank you that I want to talk about is that I want to give a special thanks to all of you for this support that you have given me in this position for these past 2 years. It's been a wonderful learning experience for me. It's been exciting. It's been challenging. Sometimes it's been nerve-wracking and frustrating. But it's been a wonderful growing experience, and it's been a pleasure serving you. As many of you have heard, I have come across a great opportunity with the San Francisco Lighthouse for the Blind. And sadly to say, I'm not able to clone myself, so I had to make a choice. But I do so reluctantly. But as of the end of the convention, I will be completing my time as the Governmental Affairs Director of CCB. And again, I want you to assure you that I am still going to be very involved in CCB. It's my hope that I will be on the Governmental Affairs Committee so I can put the skills that you guys have been paying for developing for the last 2 years to continue to do, use those skills in behalf of CCB. And again, just, you've all been so supportive. I've had, in Jeff and Donna, I've had the two best bosses I've ever had. They've been great. They've been patient. Sometimes they've been tough when they needed to be. And I hope that in the future when this position is filled again, that a great person will step up and have the opportunity to work for the best bosses they could ever have and have the great experiences that I've had. Again, thank you to all of you for your support. Please, please remember that advocacy is not one person's job. It's everybody's job. And please go forth from this convention reinvigorated to engage with your communities to make it better for all blind and visually impaired people. Thank you.
Hi, this is Joni Patchy. Frank, isn't that the AB 727 bill, that doesn't just affect the vending machines, I think. I think it's going to affect all vending facilities.
Yes, it does.
And that's a problem because it's a lot of us. And you know, I mean, not just it's a problem for the vending machines, but it's a problem for everybody in the vending program.
It is. I think it's the biggest problem, though, is the vending machines because a lot of the... Because when you look at the contracts that already exist for cafeterias, they have a lot to say about what a cafeteria manager has to provide already. So our sense was that would be less of a change in the way business is done for cafeterias. Joni's saying no, it's not. and Joni, I'm going to defer to you on that, but definitely. That's true. They're not cafeterias. And the big thing, too, is that especially in the case of these vending machines, that these aren't just catering, say, to school children or to people in prisons. These are catering to state workers who have a choice as to where they get their food from. And if we don't meet what they want, not what some nanny says they ought to be eating your vegetables, they'll go somewhere else.
Right down the street.
And here's the funny thing about the vending machines is that they can still get their munchies from the cafeteria. So, yes, it's not as strict. But folks who are running roadside rest stops, well, you know, if people can't get their sodas and their candy bars from the vending machines in the roadside stops, the next time they're traveling, they'll just bring their own and not stop at the rest stop. So again, we want to encourage healthy choices, but you've got to be dealing with market realities when you do that. And that's the message that we've been trying to get home to the legislators on this. And I think we've been getting some traction there. So we'll keep working on that. But you're right, Joni. It's not just the vending machines, even though that's where we've put the most of our effort.
Mr. Chairperson, this is Pam Polgy. I'm from San Gabriel Valley.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Frank. I don't have a question, but if you don't mind, I'd like to make a comment that yesterday I did attend Capitol Day for the first time, and I've been in CCB since the early 70s. And I want to say that I started out being very intimidated and nervous, and I ended up saying, I'm never going to miss another one.
Yes.
I had a lot of help. I was blessed to be with Donna, and I had a lot of encouragement. And I tried not to talk too much so my ignorance wouldn't show, but I tried to talk a little bit. But it was a wonderful experience, and I would just like to encourage anyone who may have had some of the fears I had to please join us next time. It's wonderful, and I thank you for your time.
And absolutely. And And I would encourage all of you who came this year, the next time, bring a friend. Because one of the things that we try to do when we do Capital Days is to match new people up with people who are experienced, so nobody has to get thrown off the deep end.
Sheila Gunn Cushman, and I don't have a question either. I have a comment, too.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to beg everyone in this organization. There are some of us who are the usual suspects. I wasn't at Capital Day yesterday, but I have called and I have written and I have testified and I've been there. I've been working with a cross disability group that's fighting the budget tooth and nail. I think every blind person in this room, I think every person in this room should be taking to the streets. This is really bad. And I don't have to be your newspaper. You can write them. You can email them. You can call them. You can visit their local offices. There are plenty of ways besides Capital Day to involve yourself with your legislator. And there's also a Disability Action, Disability Capital Day on May 25th that a lot of independent living centers know about if you are interested and missed yesterday. So be loud, be proud. We have to, or we will be very sorry. Thank you.
And I fully endorse what you just said, Sheila. And Sheila is one of our great advocates and one of the inspirations and the great people in our organization for advocacy. She's one of those folks who, when I put out the word for people to make a call or write a letter, she does it. So good for you, Sheila, and thanks for coming.
Thank you. Frank, congratulations and thank you for your remarkable work and best of luck to your future. A question and a comment, if I may, briefly. Mm-hmm. Number one, the question, with respect to 727, have we been in contact with whatever is the trade association for the candy manufacturers? Because I think with alliance with the powers of interest that would be affected could be very useful here.
The organizations that have also been opposing is the Automatic Vending Association and the Northern, the California Soft Drink Council and there's the Grocery Manufacturers Association. So they have been expressing their opposition. That's the Grocery Manufacturers Association. Now, we haven't heard from the candy manufacturers, but that's a good point. And no, we haven't heard from them, but you're right. They should be involved in this because that would definitely hit them.
Yes, I think that would be a very sweet idea.
Yes. Very
now,
clever,
if I may also, a brief comment. Our advocacy efforts, which obviously are admirable and should be sustained and extended as far as possible, nevertheless face one structural barrier which no advocacy can overcome. And that is, without mentioning any parties, that more than one-third of the members of the legislature, i.e. enough people to prevent the adoption of a budget, except on their terms, more than one-third of the members of the legislature do not regard themselves as vulnerable to electoral repudiation as a result of imposing draconian cuts on social services and human rights programs. As long as that is the case, because of the way the current districting situation exists, our advocacy efforts are likely to meet with less success than we had hoped. So we have to think about this in two senses. Number one, in terms of the short-term advocacy over the budget, and number two, in terms of the long-term advocacy we do for the kind of governance that we have in this state.
Yeah, very well said. And Steve, you're absolutely right about that. And without getting partisan myself, I'll just mention a couple of things that make me optimistic. One is redistricting commission, and the second one is open primary. And the third thing I would say is voting matters. Tell that to everybody you know. Voting matters.
Okay, Frank, this is David Hanlon from the Randolph-Shepherd Vendors of California.
And we would like to thank you very, very much for all of your effort and time and hard work into helping us with this matter. One of the things that you said yesterday at the Capitol was that 25, 35, 50% healthy food choice, that's called a choice. But 100% is called a mandate. So we thank you for your effort.
And everybody should know that when it comes to advocacy and legislation, the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California and the Randolph Shepherds of America have our back, and we're great partners with RSVC, and it's we're lucky to have that organization here in California.
Okay, thank you very much, Frank, and I wish you the best in your new career at the Lighthouse for the Blind, and hopefully that you can come back and tell us what you're doing.
Sure.
So we'll stay in contact and do expect your active participation as a member, too.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Our next one is an ACB report from an unknown person. Jeff Tom, whoever that is the director of the board of directors of ACB. Let's give him a hand.
You know, I told everybody I wasn't going to have to be up here last year, and I guess that didn't quite work. But hopefully next time you'll get lucky. You know, I was going to start out by, trying to get everybody in a real light mood before Donna's initial speech. I thought that would be nice for her. But then I thought about, you know, my banquet jokes I've told over the years, and I thought, well, that might actually not be such a good idea. So I decided I would let you, skip the jokes rather than have you, angrier than hornets. So, a major event occurred last night. A Pink Floyd reunion occurred. Oh, no, wrong file. I'll get to that. That is actually a true statement. There was a Pink Floyd reunion in London. Seriously, yes. That's enough for my speech. Thank you very much. Okay. Yes. I bring you greetings from ACB President Mitch Pomerantz, who's in New Mexico this weekend, enjoying all that wonderful hospitality, and the entire board of directors of the American Council of the Blind. In case you're thinking, well, why can't Donna bring greetings from her other half? Well, she's been so busy this year, they hardly talk at all, so I had to do it. Let's start with a discussion of what we achieved in 2010. Normally, old news is just that, but what we accomplished last year is of such importance, and in fact is creating so much work for ACB this year, that it must rank right at the top of the list. Be ready for some audience participation. In 2010, the Congress enacted and the President signed the 21st Century Telecommunications and Video Accessibility Act. Okay. Yes. Here comes the Q&A. The law now requires emergency notifications to be accessible to those with visual impairments. Which consumer organization of persons who are blind or visually impaired is responsible for making this happen?
ACB!
You'll be able to watch more and more audio-described television programming over the next decade. Which organization of consumers who are blind or visually impaired is responsible for making this happen?
ACB!
Because of this law, you will eventually be able to use all those cable options that you currently pay for, but to which you have no independent access. Which organization of consumers who are blind or visually impaired is responsible for making this happen?
ACB!
Lastly, because of this law, you will have far better access to the array of cell phones and other equipment, and there will be more funding for telecommunications equipment for those who are deafblind. One more time. Which organization of consumers or blind or visually impaired is responsible for making this happen?
ACB!
Now, we didn't do it alone, because that's not how we work when we have allies such as the American Foundation for the Blind, AT&T, Verizon and others. However, we were the voice of those with vision loss. And that's because ACB's agenda is driven by only one thing, the needs of people who are blind or have low vision. As indicated through the... Of course, as I've said earlier, the work is just beginning. ACB is not only involved with the FCC regulatory process, but our members are on various advisory committees to the FCC that concern implementation of the act, including our own Louis Herrera. Let's hear it for Louis.
Yeah, Louis!
The second major piece of legislation for which ACB successfully fought in 2010 was the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act. In the near future, this law will ensure that there will be federal standards governing noise emissions from hybrid cars. We will need to be extremely vigilant to ensure that those standards are sufficient to ensure the safety of pedestrians, and especially those of us who are blind or have low vision. We can be pleased, however, that this is one message that the Congress and the automobile industry appear to understand, and that our efforts, united with others in the blindness movement, have made a major impact. Before moving on to other things, just remember, it's not just President Pomerantz, Executive Director Melanie Brunson, and Eric Bridges, our Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs, that make these things happen. It's each and every one of us that makes phone calls and emails, or that write letters to their members of Congress. And if we want continued success in the advocacy arena, it will be up to us to make it happen. Since our last convention, ACB has been active in a variety of regulatory fronts with respect to ADA implementation, video description in movie theaters, information technology, including kiosks, and access to outdoor areas are just a few of the topics about which ACB has submitted comments to federal agencies. We also, of course, have been active in the video description area under the 21st Century Telecommunications Act, since that act has reinstituted the authority and actually gone beyond what was in the prior law for the FCC to mandate audio described programming. I won't discuss the efforts that both ACB and CCB continue to be involved in with respect to our structured negotiations, since that is really such an important part of what we in CCB do. However, be assured that ACB continues to work together in partnership with us and the California Council of the Blind toward making these efforts happen. Frank has already discussed our efforts to enact vehicle donation legislation. Let me discuss our other legislative initiatives. Although this is likely to be successfully addressed, in the short term, we are working hard to address the failure of Medicare to cover low vision aids. This is the kind of effort that, you know, because it did not succeed in the wake of healthcare reform, like many things that had to get overlooked because there was just too much to get done, we will not our efforts will not cease until we make it happen, until we can get this coverage, even if it takes years to succeed in this area, and whether we do it through regulatory or legislative change. Our other legislative initiative, which we hope will bear fruit quite soon, is our goal to obtain introduction and ultimately passage of the Pedestrian Drug Accessibility Act. This bill would authorize the FDA to regulate legal prescription prescription drug labeling so as to ensure that label information is accessible to those of us with vision loss, be they users of large print, braille, or talking prescriptions, because these are all solutions that can solve the access problems for segments of our population. And they need to become the rule rather than the exception. I want to talk briefly about something that symbolizes not only the work that we do, but how we do it. Last year at the ACB convention, we passed a series of resolutions pertaining to the need for mainstream technology corporations to be more concerned with making their products accessible to those of us with visual impairments. The specific companies to which we addressed these resolutions included Microsoft, Facebook, and even the leader in integrating solutions into their technology in terms of making sure that our needs are met, Apple. I am pleased to report the discussions between ACB and these entities are already taking place. There is every reason to believe that these discussions will ultimately make a real difference in the lives of blind and visually impaired Americans. That's because we don't try to beat them over the head with our rhetoric. But just like all our years working with financial institutions and store chains, we work in a collaborative spirit that benefits everyone. In this connection, Microsoft's Chief Accessibility Officer just made a presentation to the ACB Information Access Committee at its last phone conference. And this symbolizes the beginnings of relationships which we are starting to build and which should only improve in the future. On the international front, ACB has been working very hard for the last couple of years for the adoption of a treaty that will allow people who are blind and low vision in other nations to have copyright access to books produced in this country. In June, we'll continue those efforts in meetings to be held by the World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO. I think I got it right. In Geneva, Switzerland. Like most, does somebody want to send me to Geneva, Switzerland? I mean, I'd be happy to go. I thought I'd throw that out there anyway.
Oh, dear.
Like most nonprofits, ACB's fiscal status is always an important concern. Although bequests are a hit-and-miss thing, when you begin to get them over a prolonged period of time, you think that maybe the organization is really doing a good job at working for its mission. For the past at least 5 or 6 years, we've been receiving some very generous bequests, and this year has been no exception. We have already received a very large request. Actually, it was at the very end of 2010 that allowed us not only to maintain our current expenditures, but to hire a new development director, Mr. Steve Obrensky, who will be starting in early June. He is very, very well qualified. He's been in the blindness field. He is one of us in terms of having a visual impairment, and he has been in our field for a long time. And I am excited, as I think you will be, to hopefully have a chance to meet him in the near future. I hope so. We are very proactive about placing funds into our reserves so that we can work toward increasing the work of this organization. Do we have anybody in this room that's been married for 50 years? No, apparently not. Well, we do have in this organization, although she isn't in the room at the moment, somebody who was here when this organization started 50 years ago. Ms. Catherine Skyvers was here 50 years ago when the organization started in Kansas City back in 1961. Maybe a few others in this room were. I don't know. Well, but Audrey's not here. But yes, Audrey Hebner it was also among those members, and I'm sure there are a few others in this state that were here. Well, this year, Kathy and so many others, and all of you, will be able to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the American Council of the Blind. ACB's golden anniversary will be held in our backyard, July 9th to 16th in Reno, Nevada. Sparks, Nevada, I guess, to be more accurate. The nice little suburb of Reno at John Esquaga's Nugget. And I hope that every one of you will have the opportunity to be there for some or all of that convention. It's going to be a can't-miss event, and I know that whether you get there by plane, bus, train, car, or horseback, just try to get there. Parachute, yes, another suggestion. Because a good time will be had by all. Whether you're a blindness history buff, you know, you love anything in the field, whether you like incredible tours, to die for auction items, not to mention amazing auctioneers.
Yay!
I wasn't talking about myself. I was talking about, you know, President Pomerantz and the other President Pomerantz. Clearly not myself. And Cindy Van Winkle, yes. There's that. Inexpensive and plentiful food or blackjack and poker tournaments. But don't bother to enter the Texas Hold'em because I intend to win. We've got it all. We'll have it all. We'll be hearing from six of the nine ACB presidents, who there have been interviews made of them, and so we're going to have that as one of our features. The banquet will feature ACB Jeopardy. Of course, it can't beat the Muttstrat trivia, but it'll still be good. For reservations at the Nugget, the 800 number is 648-1176. Convention registration will begin in late May. You can do it over the internet, over the phone. If you want registration material, you can call and get it to get the paper registration form. Well, they won't be sent out to you, but you can request it. So, and pre-registration will end on June 30th. So we hope that as many of you will be there as possible. We hope that many of you will be in the third, right, Donna? Third ACB walk on Sunday, July 10th.
Yep.
And we should all support our president. If we don't want to walk, let's support Donna and make her a big, I don't know, maybe she'll get a medal made out of, wood or something. Something. Support Donna. So, as always, it's been a busy year, but we wouldn't have it any other way because we are the American Council of the Blind. Thank you very much.
I think somebody was in the front and had a question for Jeff.
Yes. Okay. The one thing that I was a little confused on, but thank goodness David understood it and he could explain it to me, is when you said the Pedestrian Drug Safety Act.
Pedestrian Drug Accessibility Act.
Why do pedestrians need drug safety?
That's interesting. I wonder how I got that into my speech. It's the Drug Accessibility Act. Prescription Drug Accessibility Act. I like Pedestrian Drug Accessibility Act better. I like it. I'm going to use it, and I think we ought to adopt that. Thank you, Beth, for clearing up prescriptions.
Those aren't a favor.
All pedestrians should have prescriptions accessible to them.
Any other questions?
A Freudian slip if ever there were one.
Okay, just keep your hand up and they'll get to you.
Jeff, we haven't heard. Do you have any idea what the after convention tour is? Because it's hard for us to know how many days to stay.
I'm sorry?
The after convention tour.
Saturday night.
There's, oh boy.
That's after convention.
I think it's a pedestrian brain cramp. Is that? The information is in the forum. I honestly, it isn't?
No.
Huh. Okay. I'll tell you what I will do. I will get that information and try to report on it on Sunday morning because I don't have it at the moment.
Anyone else?
I'll certainly do what I can.
In the connection, on the listserv. There you go.
This is Linda Mati, and I have a question that is really kind of maybe not that important, but...
No question is unimportant.
You were talking about the video description and description on TV and so on, so forth and so on. Channel 13, which is the CBS channel in Sacramento, for a while had wonderful video description through, I imagine, WGBH. All of a sudden, it has disappeared. And I'm wondering why and what happened. And I was wondering whether it had to do with the changeover to HD or what. It was.
Well,
but it's no longer there.
There are two possibilities. Number one, they discontinued it. And number two, you were able to get it through whoever your cable provider was, and then they decided not to pass it through anymore. And one of those could have been the issue. I don't exactly know.
I'll check with my cable company.
Yeah, we can certainly look at that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Jeff, Steve Mendelson, in terms of advocacy, you made the very important point that it's an ongoing process. I wonder if you could remind people briefly about the various opportunities that will arise, particularly under the 21st Century Telecommunications Accessibility Act, for commenting on proposed federal regulations and the important role that our continuing advocacy in that context can play.
Yeah, and you know, that's a very good point, Steve. And it's important to note that you know, when you see something on one of these lists or hear something in the Washington Connection, you don't have to be some kind of a policy wonk or a lawyer or whatever to have an impact. If you have a simple view as to what the world ought to be, you know, with the respect to a specific issue that's under the, you know, regulatory ambit of what's going on, you know, with respect to the particular administrative agency, write it in. You're a citizen. You have just as much right to have your voice heard as some, you know, policy wonk in ACB does. So don't be afraid that just because you don't have a graduate school degree, you shouldn't be heard. Any other questions?
Okay, let's give Jeff a hand. Before we get the presidential report from our president, I heard a request over in the corner for another door prize. You want to do it, Donna?
Okay.
$25 cash from CCCLV. Oh, that's a good one. See, they're all good, but cash is... Uh-huh. That's right. Ed says the longer you stay, the richer you get.
I think you got it.
Okay.
All right. Pamela Drake, are you in the room? She is not in the room. Next. Brian Bashan in the room. Nope. Next.
Okay, that's something we can quote.
Beth says he doesn't need the money. Anyway. Gabe Griffith, are you in the room? I know you're not either. Oh, more for me, more for me.
We're going to have fun investigating.
Yes, yes. Ron Bateman, are you in the room? Oh. Oh. Joe Smith, are you in the room?
Must be pretty busy at the bar.
Yeah, the bar must be hopping. Sherry Gabrielson, are you in the room? No.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
Trying. I'm hungry too.
Dan Kaiser, are you in the room? Oh, he's in the bar with the rest of them.
He's buying the drinks.
Sandra Handy, are you in the room? No. Oh, she's
is
in the bar with
here?
That ball must be hopping.
I'm glad I got done quickly so we have time to get this.
Roger Peterson, are you in the bar with the rest of them? Oh, he's here. Woo. All right, so Roger's going to take us all to the bar and buy us drinks with the $25. Roger doesn't have a dog. I don't know. He has a cane. I don't know if he named it.
Well, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our next presenter, Donna Pomerantz, who's going to give the presidential report of CCB. Let's give her a hand.
Well, first of all, before I start, I think we are streaming, and I don't think we've done this yet. Can we have everyone yell as loud as they can, hello to ACB Radio World. Let's hear it. That was a good one. I like it. I wonder if they heard us in the bar. Oh. Ah, they're not hearing too well. Well, good evening, lady and fellow members of the California Council of the Blind family. It is my honor to be here today presiding over my first convention as president of the California Council of the Blind. It is my honor to be here in our 76th year of existence. Wow, what a track record. This is wonderful. These past 4 months have been very eventful and definitely never a moment, that's for sure. I want to begin by thanking my friend, my life mate, my husband, who has been very, very supportive throughout these months. Mitch is not here at this convention because he was asked to go to the New Mexico Council of the Blind convention in his capacity as ACB president. I know that he is here with us in spirit, and his encouragement means a great deal to me. He actually called in the middle of our board meeting yesterday, forgetting that we were having the first half of our board meeting. And I answered the telephone because I thought maybe it was Lily or Ed or something happened. I didn't listen to who it was. I do have my phone on vibrate. I answered the phone and he said, "Hello, babe." And I said, "I am in the board meeting." And he whispered back to me, "Oh, I'm sorry." Now, why he had to whisper, I don't know. He didn't start off the call whispering, but anyway, I tell you, he's definitely here with us, and I miss him a great deal. I also want to thank several people who have made so much of these past months a successful learning experience for me. To you, and you know who you are, a very special, heartfelt thank you. You have been there to answer my questions, and you know I always have a lot of questions. You have been there to teach me from your experience. You have been there to share your wisdom and stories with me. And there are a lot of stories and lots of wisdom too. That's a good thing. You have been there steadfast and willing to lend a hand whenever I needed help to work CCB. A very sincere thank you to all of you. And I know I will be continuing to give thanks to each of you, because CCB belongs to each and every one of us, and I know more and more of us will continue to stand together to work CCB. The theme of this conference and convention is charting our course into the future while keeping our historic bearings. This is a very powerful theme. I thought long and hard about it, but I couldn't condense it. I had all these thoughts in my mind. I wanted to condense it into a single phrase to say it all, and I had difficulty. I spoke with someone who was patient enough to listen to me, and I shared the thoughts that I had about what I wanted folks to remember as a theme for this first conference and convention. I was given a phrase after a great deal of thought. I wish that I had the gift to be able to condense all of those thoughts into a catchy phrase, such as what our convention theme is. However, for some reason, it didn't quite feel perfect. So I shared the phrase that we had come up with someone else. They thought about it, and they took away a word or two, and then it was perfect. It felt right. This is how I came to have this convention theme. I know what I want to be thinking about throughout my presidency, and also in the moment throughout this weekend. And I also hope you would be able to take it with you as well. It is extremely important for us, CCB, to be successful. We must never forget our history. We must also balance that with being realistic and aware of how many things are directly happening in the moment. And finally, while taking all of this into consideration, we must look toward how we will move into the future. CCB is the grassroots consumer organization where there is a place for everyone. Whether you are a high-tech or a low-tech person, whether you love your telephone or computer, whether you are a young person, a middle-aged person, or a senior, whether you use a guide dog, whether you use a cane, whether you are fully sighted, if you look through the program that we have this weekend at convention today, you will see there is a place for each
and everyone just by looking at our statewide special interest affiliates. We are truly a diverse group. We have many committees. We have many affiliates. We have many chapters. Each and every chapter has its own character. There is a place for everyone. We need to realize the times that we live in. Times are hard. I will continue saying this because it is reality. And it's imperative that we band together to move forward and be a strong, powerful force, standing for that which is ours. It is imperative in these times that we are in, if we are going to keep what we have now, we need to stand and we must be counted. We need to stand with each other. If we think that something impacts us directly, or if it may impact someone that we know, we must stand together and be strong with and for each other in these hard times that are here today. As I said earlier, there is a place for each of us in CCB. CCB is what it is because of each and every one of you. We make it what we want it to be. Please look in your programs. Look at the committee list. There are a number of committees. Some of the committees state that they are undergoing reorganization. That means those committees have not been completely filled at this point. I need each and every one of you. I need chapter presidents. I need you to look at those and see where you think you may fit. I've met a number of people this weekend who have shared their interest in serving in a number of committees. You're not alone. Together we can be a powerful force. It is imperative that we continue to work CCB in these hard times. I want to end this first message, this first speech, by calling upon you to let me know, and Ed, if you can be prepared with a microphone if anyone is interested in speaking up, and letting me know what it is that you would like to see in a future convention, what kind of program items you would like to see. Maybe what you would like to see in our Blind Californian, what you think is good about convention, what you think, again, that you would like to see, that you don't see. And think about where it is that you may want to serve on a committee, or if there's an advocacy effort that you would like to be a part of. Again, it takes each and every one of us. We're all here for different reasons, but there is a place for all of us. And I just want to thank you for making so far this convention a great success despite all the hardships that we're having to deal with. Everything works because of each and every one of you. You are the ones that make CC be the true grassroots consumer advocacy organization that we are today. And I thank you and I salute you. Thank you. And so what I would like is if anyone is interested in either asking me any kind of a question, if anyone is interested in sharing what you'd like to see in a future convention, if anyone has anything to say at all whatsoever, I'd like to hear from you at this point. If you don't wish to speak right now, you know how to find me. My phone number is in the BC. My email is in the BC. But I think I'd like to hear from some of you as far as what you'd like to see at a convention. If anyone would like to share right now, or if you have any questions. And Ed is reaching over for someone.
Yes.
So.
Donna, this is Jane. And I think you've just done an outstanding job. And I think our future is going to be in capable hands with you. And my congratulations.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Cindy Aguilar. And this is only my second convention I've went to. But there's one thing I've noticed in both conventions that I think would be great to expand on, and that's the technology and showing different seminars with the upcoming or the research that's been going on in technology, since a lot of us seem to be using different computerized programs, the new cell phone information, which I would love to know more, and see it in action. The technology information I came to yesterday with the committee, because I had to take off work to come, and it would be great to see that in more than one section and have more than one idea. There's all kinds of great things out there I'm finding out that can help everybody live their life better.
Thank you. And we have a wonderful technology committee, and Louis Herrera and Roger Peterson are leading that committee, and there's a group of members. They've shared with me some of the goals that they have. I've shared with them some of what I would like to see, and it does speak to some of what you are saying. So thank you for sharing that.
Donna, this is Judy Wilkinson.
Judy.
I would love to continue the great work you have started and have helped us with Lily going forward in pursuing grant development and grant funding. And I particularly, of course, care for such funding for the BC. But I also want to take this opportunity to thank everybody in this room for supporting the raffle tickets for the BC, which is the beneficiary of the fundraiser this spring. And if you haven't bought tickets, please, please do so. Thank you.
Absolutely. Artis has some. Donna has some. There's some at the registration desk. If you go to the exhibit hall tomorrow, there will be sweepstakes tickets there at the CCB booth, where different board members have been there already today. You have the sweepstakes tickets and the grocery cards there. So lots of people are carrying them around with them throughout convention. So you can get them all over the place. And they're only $5 a piece.
Hey, Don, it's Joe Hamilton.
Joe, hi.
As we were doing the first report of the general session here, the gentleman was going through and reading the chapters that are in the state, the delegates from those chapters.
Yes.
And at the end, he ran down a list of the chapters who weren't in representation, and some of the utterances around me here in the back of the room where it keeps getting worse and worse. So
yes.
Overall, the opportunity that you have to take the good works of the past and grow it in the future certainly would call for efforts to make sure that all of the CCB chapters are represented at these annual conventions. So I'm just encouraging you guys to continue to try to build those bridges so that each corner of the state has an opportunity to really push forward the CCB's good work.
Yes. Thank you. And I spoke to over half of those chapters, and the issue, as was shared in credentials this morning, is that financially they're not able to afford to come. Several of those chapters are doing great works in their community, in their local area, spreading the word about CCB, being strong forces for advocacy and making their voices heard. And unfortunately, I knew about most of these chapters beforehand, and the reason they said they weren't able to come was because of this. And that also speaks to some of what Judy was sharing in trying to seek grants and such, so that, you know, my hope would be looking toward the future that we could fund some of these very small chapters to, you know, even give a stipend or pay some type of expenses, I would hope, because some of these chapters have very, very small treasuries. And they wanted to be here, but frankly, they just couldn't afford it. That's why we as a board of directors are proactively doing things to make our rating higher on Charity Navigator, to do different things like approving a donor privacy policy and other things, so that when we go out and solicit funds, we aren't seeing a couple of stars because we don't have a couple of things set. So I thank you for your comment. Any other questions or things you'd like to see?
No other hands?
All right. Well, I want to thank you. And again, please remember, maybe as you go home, you may think of other things that you would want to see at convention. I definitely do want to also take this time to thank Jean Lozano, who is an awesome convention chair. Jean, I don't know what I would have done without you. He just had everything down to a science. And again, when I said earlier in my speech that I asked a lot of questions, everybody heard all of my questions regarding all the different things that need to come together to put on a convention like this. Jeff was also extremely helpful. There were so many people who were very helpful. I was very pleased to have been able to get the convention announcement and program to so many different groups to look it over, because we all miss things. And there were quite a number of people. This was a village, let me tell you, that looked grim and did the formats, and that couldn't have happened without each and every one of you as well. So I want to thank each and every one of you. And Jean, you do so much work as well behind the scenes to put these conventions together, and I want to thank you as well. Thank you.
Thank you for the very kind words, and I plan to do that. We're going to do announcements, and I haven't forgotten Joni. So you're the first. Go ahead.
I won't keep you long. I just wanted you to know, because we didn't get a confirmation on our speaker until just recently, but our speaker for tomorrow at the Education Committee meeting is going to be John Parasol from the Clearinghouse. He says he's going to bring us some good stuff to look at and give us some really important links to websites that would be so important for you to have if you want to encourage parents to look for what they need to look for their children. It's something that's really close to my heart, and kids aren't getting a good education right now, and we need to make sure at least we know what to give them for answers. So please come at 8:30 in the Bear River Room, and I look forward to seeing you all there. Thank you.
This is Melissa Hudson again. Sorry, guys, to keep nagging you about the videos tomorrow, but I forgot to mention, if you're here with family and friends who are not members of CCB, we'd also love to hear from them to see how, you know, it's impacted their lives to see you, you know, at CCB and how it's changed your life and how they see it through their eyes. So that would be fantastic as well if you have anybody. And that would include, like, Lily and Ed, too. So, everybody, what their thoughts. It's going to be in room 1102 as of 1:30. Please get in touch with Lily to set up some times as of 1:30. We're going to have like 10 to 15 minute blocks to set up some time and volunteers to get you over there on time. Thanks.
Frank.
If you... or anyone you know, and this includes people listening on ACB radio, live in Contra Costa County, California, which is east of San Francisco, this is a reminder that there are plans underway to start a CCB chapter in the area of Concord in Contra Costa County. The planning meeting is going to be on Saturday, May 28th. For details, listen to the California Connection. And again, we know that there are plenty of people in Contra Costa County who could benefit from CCB, and it's time for us to make a chapter return to that county.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, any last comments? Okay, we are adjourned.
Thank you.